The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them and the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, once upon a time, there were these two boys aged 8, 9, maybe 10, two brothers. They were known in the neighborhood as pretty much the terrors of the neighborhood. If anything ever went bad or went wrong or went missing, it was always these two little brothers that were blamed. And for good reason, because it was usually them. Parents even knew that it was them. So one day, a new priest comes into town. He's known to help reform young men and get them on the straight and narrow and all that good stuff. And he's been pretty successful with helping to reform some other children. So the parents of these two boys set up a meeting for them, get everything going, because they want their boys to be little angels, little saints, like we always are. And so the younger brother, because the older brother gets to decide what the younger brother does, the younger brother has to go first. And he sits down with the priest in his office, sitting across from him at the desk. And it's obviously confidential conversations take place, but the first question the priest puts to him is, "Where is God?" Now, this priest has this demeanor. He's like kind of a giant among men, and he's got a very deep voice. So the little boy, I mean, he's 8 years old. He's a little afraid. So he doesn't say anything, but his eyes get a little bigger. He's like, "Oh, no." So because the boy isn't responding, the priest says again, "Where is God?" The boy's eyes just get bigger and still not a word. Until finally the priest, fed up with not being responded to, points, wags his finger, puts his hand in his face, "Where is God?" And the little boy jumps up out of that chair, starts screaming, and runs out of that office. His brother runs into his brother on his way out. His brother, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on?" He's like, "Well, we've really done it this time. God's missing, and they think we did it." Too often, we think that God isn't here, that he isn't active in our lives, that he's missing. Or at least that's the way that it seems. Where is God when a loved one falls ill? Where is God when we can't afford rent or food? Where is God when the whole world is falling apart? Where is God? The funny thing is, just like in the gospel today, he's literally walking right next to us, speaking to us. And we just don't realize it. When we're struggling with our day-to-day life, when we fall sick, when we just plain fall, God is right there with us, standing beside us in the midst of everything that's going on, literally helping us to shoulder our burdens. And yet we're oblivious and can't see him. Because God does not take away the sufferings when we ask for it. I mean, think about the Good Friday that we just celebrated. He didn't spare his only son from death, from suffering. So what thing makes us think that we're any different and that he'll treat us any differently? The closer we get to God, the more we see the importance of that suffering. But the thing is that God is still there with us. Just like when Christ was hanging on the cross, his Father was standing right beside him. So too, when we are suffering, when we are struggling, God is standing there right next to us, helping us carry that cross. God is not missing. We just haven't been looking in the right places. The kind nurse who showed us compassion in the hospital when we were sick, that was God working through them. The stranger who helped us to pay our rent or provided us food, that was God working through them. The teacher who spent countless hours helping her students to learn trigonometry, it was God working through them. All the good that exists in the world is God at work. In the gospel today, we hear how the two men on the road to Emmaus finally recognized Christ, God himself, in the breaking of the bread. The breaking of bread that we do here today on the altar and at every mass and on every altar throughout the world, the same breaking of the bread, the same sacrifice of Calvary. If we can recognize God in the breaking of the bread here and now at this mass, in the Eucharist, our highest good, we can begin to recognize God's work in the rest of the world too. We can begin to see how he works through each of us so we can bring him to the world around us. We can see him standing there, suffering with us, enduring with us, loving with us. My brothers and sisters, God is not missing. God is very much alive and well, present here in the Eucharist, present in our community, in our scriptures, present in each one of us as we go throughout the world, present in our neighbors. So it's important then that we take time this week, every day, to look for him, to see him in the Eucharist, to see him in the breaking of the bread, so that we can also in turn find him in the rest of our lives.